The past 8 years have seen lots of changes in the operation of the state of Wisconsin, from education to health care, from transportation to business development. And much of that change, whether you felt it was good or bad, happened because Republicans controlled both the legislature and the governor's chair. Well, that changes Monday. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Collin, back in for Kate Archer Kent. Democrat Tony Evers is sworn in on Monday to replace Scott Walker. And we're going to take some time to look ahead at what we might expect from a divided government in Wisconsin in the coming year. We welcome J.R. Ross, the editor of WisPolitics.com, and we'll join him in a moment. But in the meantime, when it comes to state politics, what will you be watching for in the coming year? Call 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. J.R. Ross, the editor of WisPolitics, is with us. Good morning, J.R.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. The gubernatorial election, well, it was one of the closest elections in recent memory, and Governor-elect Tony Evers bested Scott Walker by just over a percentage point. So judging by the result, I think it's fair to say that Wisconsin remains a divided state. What challenges does that create for both Evers and the state legislature, which continues to be led by the GOP?
Well, what can they agree on? The best example we have in recent memory is 2003-2005, which is when then-Democrat Governor Jim Doyle took office and had Republicans controlling both houses of the legislature. Back then, I think he vetoed like 101 bills, give or take, in that first two-year period. And the pace of bills getting done slowed quite a bit compared to what happens when you have unified government. So what's that going to look like? Is that the kind of the gauge to look at for this? And then you have to look at the early comments from both sides since the election. Republicans have tried very hard to minimize the Evers win. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, for example, often says that if you take away the margin of victory in Dane County for Evers, he would not have a majority of the vote statewide. I'm not quite sure why he's so focused on Dane County, but he's trying to minimize the idea that Evers has some kind of a mandate by winning statewide election. So it seems like Evers is not getting much of a honeymoon, if any kind of a honeymoon in that regard. And then, two, you have Evers. He made a lot of promises in the campaign, things like, you know, he wants to look at ways to get more money into roads. He wants to roll back the manufacturing ag tax credit, we call it, which benefits manufacturers and farmers to cap the how much money you can make so qualify for. There are things like that. The Republicans are saying, no, we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. The question is, what can they do? Where can they agree? I'm not quite sure we figured that out yet.
Yesterday, Evers suggested that it would take a lawsuit for him to go along with certain parts of the lame duck legislation that curbed his powers, and the Republicans would have to do the litigating. He said he anticipated most of the provisions would be challenged and that he guessed he would be a defendant rather than a plaintiff. How does that color the start of his tenure?
Well, it doesn't paint a picture of two sides that are going to work together in a lot of things. So obviously Evers complained that this was a power grab with what Republicans pushed through with Governor Walker in the lame duck session. Now, what he hasn't done is say which laws he might ignore and what the justification might be. Is he saying these laws are unconstitutional? We haven't heard that justification yet, so I'm kind of curious to see which ones he's talking about, because the immediate pushback for Republicans was, you can't do that. You can't just pick and choose which laws to enforce. So how's this going to work, and what's the justification? I'm kind of waiting to watch the details play out, because as I've watched Governor like Evers and talk to people about the early going, he hasn't really laid out a lot of specifics. For example, you know, I interviewed him yesterday like other reporters did, and I asked him about, you know, reducing the prison population, one of his promises in the campaign. And he said he'd put the building blocks into his budget to start working for that goal, but wouldn't put specifics in the budget, but he wouldn't tell what those building blocks are. He's not getting a lot of details just yet. So that's what we're kind of looking for, is the specifics of how is Evers going to govern and how Republicans can react to that. How's that going to play out?
Let's bring Nate from Milwaukee into the conversation. Nate, welcome to the morning show.
Hi, and good morning. I am looking forward to, I think, two sets of lawsuits that I actually had not expected back in November. One you were just touching on And I think Governor-elect Evers actually loosely did refer to that he thought the lame duck bills, at least some of them, were unconstitutional because when asked, he compared it to when the Republicans tried to change his powers as state superintendent. Now, the other lawsuit I'm looking forward to is involving the $850,000 Robin Voss wants to spend of taxpayer money to, in addition to the $2 million that they've already gone through, to defending the gerrymandered maps that prevent taxpayers from having honest elections for who runs the state legislature.
J.R. Ross, it's interesting, this quickly into the discussion, when we've been kind of focusing on the changes in the executive branch and the legislative branch, that we're actually spending a lot of time talking about the judicial side of this. Are lawsuits going to be as much a part of this administration as legislation?
That's a good question. I've been covering the Capitol now for almost 19 years. When I first came up here, I never thought I'd spend so much time in court covering politics. But that has been a mainstay over the course of that time. So, yeah, I mean, we're going to see how some of that stuff plays out. What the caller brought up with redistricting, what's fascinating there is, you know, Tony Evers winning, I mean, you cannot downplay the significance of that for Democrats overall with those maps, because if Scott Walker won re-election, you would likely have had Republicans drawing those maps again in 2021 as long as they held on the state Senate, because the Assembly, the majority is so large, people think Democrats could flip that. But with Evers now, you're not going to have unified government. They can't draw the maps. Therefore, we're going back to court, most likely, and the courts will draw the maps. That is much better for Democrats than what happened, you know, 9 years ago, 8 years ago, mm-hmm. and put in better shape for those legislative races going forward starting in 2022. It's a huge thing for them.
Now, one of the first thing lawmakers will have to tackle is a state budget, and there's already debate over who's going to be in control of that process. You talked about Evers beginning to draft a budget. Talk about what we've heard so far when it comes to the budget.
Well, Republican legislative leaders have talked about working off what we call the base. Now, in the base, it's a two-year budget, and so when building the next budget, they take the second year, what you're allocated, that's your base, okay? What Republicans are talking about is that ignoring what Evers proposes, likely in February or early March, and working off the base for these agencies, so that way they're basically, the policies of Governor Walker would still be the foundation of that budget. Now, and asking people about that prospect, that's a lot of heavy lifting, all right, and building a budget. You're talking about line by line of these agencies' requests and figuring out what you want to use as the base or where you want your starting point to be. So in talking to folks, I get the impression that maybe Republicans will start with the base on big picture things like taxes, like schools, but maybe work off of Evers' request for like smaller agencies, because the big fights are not going to be over these smaller agencies. They're going to be about whether they're going to allow a gas tax increase or a rollback of manufacturing agriculture tax credit, whether they're going to allow Evers to do the full funding of the Department of Public Instruction request that he put forth as state superintendent, things like that. So it could be a mix. Whatever they do, though, the Joint Finance Committee is going to be controlled by Republicans 12-4. Yeah. That's our budget.
J.R. Ross, so, editor of WisPolitics.com, and we'll continue our conversation about the year ahead of Wisconsin politics. Do you think divided government will be a good or bad thing for our state? 800-642-1234. Dean Collin back in for Kate Archer Kent. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Collin, back in for Kate Archer Kent. After news, at the bottom of the hour, we'll talk about our clothing and the impact it has on the environment. For now, we continue to focus on the upcoming year in state politics. What do you see as the most pressing issue in the state that you're hoping to see tackled? What are you hoping to see from new Governor Tony Evers? And do you think divided government will be good or bad for the state? 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our guest is J.R. Ross. He's the editor of WisPolitics.com. And we bring into the conversation Jimmy from Valley Junction. Jimmy, thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network.
Morning. Yeah, I would think that at some point there'd be at least a symbolic effort to restore union negotiating rights to state, local, and teacher unions that was taken away under Scott Walker early on in his administration. It'll be a tough row to hoe because the legislature's still in Republican hands, but I think he has to at least appear to be moving in that direction.
J.R. Ross, is this going to be a priority to get the unions built back up, and is that even possible after the Janus decision?
It's a fascinating issue because I've asked people about this for several years now, especially in election time. And for Democrats, the issue is their base really wants to see the restoration of collective bargaining powers. I mean, that is a core issue that a lot of public employee unions and other organized labor support Democrats. This is a key issue for them about working people and those kinds of things. The issue is for Democrats that if you look at the general public, it's not a fight they kind of want to keep having. You know, we had a very contentious period in 2011 when Governor Walker pushed this through the Republican-controlled legislature. We had the recalls in 2012. And I get the impression, talking to folks on both sides of the aisle, they don't think voters really want to have that big fight again. They just, it's settled, just kind of be done with it. So if you're a Democrat, how do you approach that issue where you let the base know that you're engaged, you're paying attention to it, without kind of like, I don't know what the right word is, but maybe like bringing back up the bad memories of that fight for the people in the middle who you need to win election time? So I will be watching to see if Evers has some kind of symbolic push toward restoration of those powers. I mean, if he puts it in his budget, for example, it's obvious Republicans will not go along with that. They're not going to go back on that issue to where we were before. But what might he do instead, or is there a proposal out there that tries to, again, a nod to that base of saying, hey, you know, I'm paying attention to what's important to you?
Shifting gears a bit, one of the more contentious issues in recent years has been how to pay for roads in Wisconsin. Even the Republicans had trouble agreeing on that in previous budgets. To that end, Governor-elect Evers is tapping Executive Director of the Wisconsin Transportation Development Association, Craig Thompson, as his DOT secretary. Thompson has previously supported an increase in a gas tax or a fee increase. Does that signal what we would see for transportation policy going forward?
Possibly, you know, Governor Evers has talked about trying to find more money for roads, about being open to various proposals. The question, kind of like with everything, is what could they agree on? Remember the fight with Republicans and Walker in the last budget. Assembly Republicans, generally speaking, not all of them, pushed an idea of cutting other taxes to allow for a gas tax increase. That idea, however, did not go very far in budget negotiations. So is there really truly an appetite, and it never was put to a vote by the two houses, so is there really an appetite in both Republican caucuses to raise taxes of any kind, especially with a Democratic administration? That I don't know about. The other thing is, you know, this whole budget process, if Republicans ignore what Evers wants and they do their own budget, you know, where are they going to put that in and how are they going to agree to it? And if you're going to try to find agreement between Evers and Republicans, might you have to break the transportation piece totally off of the rest of the budget? That happened, last time it happened was in the mid to late 90s before I got up here, but they've done it before, the transportation budget by itself. So people wondered, maybe that's a way to try to figure out a compromise, but I don't know how it's going to play out just yet.
Let's extend our conversation out to Sun Prairie and bring Steve into the mix. Steve, welcome to the morning show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. One of the things I do like what the Republicans are doing is kind of taking a page out of the Democrats with Trump and this whole resist movement against Evers and what he wants to do. Historically, the Republicans have been very weak-kneed when it comes to resisting. You know, they get the media onslaught and they start caving to the pressure. Just wondering if you think the guests will actually think that the Republicans will have the gumption and the strong will to continue to resist Evers every chance they get and represent their voters, not the people that dislike them.
J.R., it seems to me that the people in the leadership, in the Republican leadership in the legislature, have not been shy violets about this sort of thing.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss has been trying to position himself as the leading conservative voice against Governor-elect Evers in talking to people on both sides of the aisle about what they're seeing kind of post-November 6th. They see Voss positioning himself to try and lead the charge against Evers and be kind of like, I would say, the anti-governor, I don't know if the right word to use, but be the foil to Evers. And if you look at the two caucuses, the Assembly Republicans have such a large majority, they're not in any danger of losing that chamber in the next round of elections, just because the maps are so good for them. Those kind of, the majority is so large, it's very difficult to see them losing the majority. The Senate, the map is not great for Democrats in 2020 in terms of seats that are up. If you look at the results of the 2018 race and kind of project them out. But it's a much more difficult caucus to manage because it's a little bit more diverse in kind of the political spectrum. So for Voss, we fully expect in talking to people to see Robin Voss continue to be that person standing up to Evers almost any time he can and worried more about keeping that base engaged and happy than about losing voters in the middle because his members depend on voters on the right to keep them coming back every time with the maps that they have.
Our guest is J.R. Ross. He's editor of WisPolitics.com. Join us at 800-642-1234. J.R. Ross, Tony Evers has announced several names to fill spots in his administration's cabinet. More coming this afternoon, I understand. All the appointments are subject to Senate confirmation. Are any of these individuals in for a fight in the Senate?
Craig Thompson, Transportation. We've already heard complaints from Republicans that, you know, he advocated for revenue increases as a lobbyist, that he lobbied on these issues, so therefore there's going to be an issue there. The question I have about things like that are, okay, how's this going to work? Because if you go to the Senate right now, you're going to have a 19-14 Republican majority in the Senate. If they allow a floor vote by the full chamber, we're going to see 14 Democrats back that nominee. Will there be three Republicans who would, if there is a problem, I'm not projecting for sure there will be, but if there is an issue with Craig, will there be three Republicans who break ranks with the others and vote for him? If they do, he still gets confirmed. That's a big question I have. How are they going to negotiate that? Because oftentimes in caucuses, you only take something to the floor if you have a majority of the caucus or if you have enough votes from the caucus by itself to pass something. So if you have 17 Republican votes, well, I'm not sure that's going to happen just yet. So how is that going to play out? Something to watch that for people like me, it's going to be fascinating.
I don't recall Wisconsin ever having a floor fight over a cabinet position before. Do you remember that? I just don't.
I remember plenty of party line votes on appointments. I'm trying to think of the last round of secretaries, an incoming governor. It's been 8 years.
Yeah.
So I remember a little foggy about that. But
that's all right.
First, I remember there's already been a dust up right at the appointment. Usually it's pretty, people play nicely. And there's also a philosophy of, you allow a governor to have his or her cabinet because that's the person that's his or her cabinet, right? His picks going forward. So we'll see how that plays out too.
We've talked about the governor's position. Let's talk a little bit about another important job. We'll see someone new coming in, Attorney General Democrat Josh Call replacing Republican Brad Schimmel. What should we know about the incoming Attorney General?
He was a federal prosecutor for several years out in Baltimore. Was in private practice. He part of the lawsuit over voter ID that was successful in Wisconsin. His mother, Peg Lautenschlager, was attorney general from 2003 to 2007. So that's an interesting connection. Other thing you should know is, how is he going to navigate these new laws that Republicans pushed through last month? I fully expect lawsuits over those from somebody. I'm not sure who just yet. But he kind of comes in a little bit more of an unknown than Evers because he hasn't had a much of a record in public office in Wisconsin. This is going to be an interesting watch. How does he navigate being attorney general, and what kind of AG will he be? Our examples of Democrats in recent memory are Peg Lautenschlager and Jim Doyle. You know, Doyle was kind of a law and order type Democrat. Peg, I remember her focusing a lot on consumer protection and those kinds of things, the environment. Where is his emphasis going to be? And every attorney general I've ever covered walks to the office thinking, I could be governor someday. It's just kind of the way the job works. So is this a springboard for Call to something else down the road?
Supreme Court races have been testy in recent years. This one, I would think, is going to be significant because the incumbent's not running. Shirley Abrahamson is retiring after a long term on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. In 15 seconds, what do we know about how this race is shaping up so far?
This race sets the stage for 2020. Progressives have to hold this seat of Abrahamson to maintain a 4-3 conservative majority. If they do that, they have a shot next spring with Daniel Kelly, who was appointed by Governor Walker, to retake control of the state Supreme Court. Yeah, Lisa Neubauer and Brian Hagedorn, both appeals court judges. Neubauer is considered the left of center candidate. Hagedorn is a Walker appointee, is the conservative candidate. This is the race that sets the stage. If liberals can win this race, 2020 is going to be an all-out war for control of the state Supreme Court.
J.R. Ross, thanks for joining us. He's editor of WisPolitics.com. Up next is news. Then we talk about the way we buy, use, and dispose of fashion impacts and how fashion impacts the environment. Dean Collin back in for Kate Archer-Kent on The Morning Show.